Hello and welcome to Business Daily from BBC World Service with me, Sameer Hashmi. Today we are in Saudi Arabia, where millions of Muslims have gathered for Hajj, the largest pilgrimage in Islam. While Saudi Arabia sees it as a religious duty to host pilgrims, Hajj and Umrah also represent a vast economic opportunity. Religious tourism is already a key economic driver for Saudi Arabia, and it's aiming to welcome 30 million pilgrims every year by 2030. So can Saudi Arabia capitalize on this growing demand for religious tourism? That's all coming up in today's Business Daily. Tens of thousands of Muslims recite a sacred verse as they perform Hajj. This is the Talbiyah, the call every pilgrim says as they undertake the five-day pilgrimage. Each year, millions of Muslims arrive in Islam's holiest city, Makkah, to take part in Hajj, the fifth and final pillar of Islam. It takes place in the 12th month of the Islamic calendar and is mandatory at least once in a lifetime for every adult Muslim who is physically and financially able. This year, more than 1.5 million people are taking part in the pilgrimage.
I have been trying to get a place for Hajj since 2010. After 15 years, I finally managed to come. When my wife and I found out we were going, we were overjoyed. Not only me, but also my children, my friends, my relatives, my loved ones and my acquaintances. All of them were very happy for us, because they all knew how eager we were to come to God's sacred house and perform the Hajj.
I have been waiting for 20 years. I cried and prayed every year that I wanted to come to Saudi Arabia for Hajj, God willing. After a lot of prayers, I have finally managed to come. I am very happy.
While Hajj is the largest gathering of Muslims in the world, pilgrims also travel to Saudi Arabia year-round to perform Umrah, the lesser pilgrimage. Unlike Hajj, Umrah can be undertaken at any time of the year and is not tied to specific dates. However, Saudi authorities suspend Umrah visas during the Hajj season. Last year, 18.5 million pilgrims visited the holy cities of Makkah and Medina to perform either Hajj or Umrah. Religious tourism is a cornerstone of Saudi Arabia's economy, generating around $12 billion annually. That's about 7% of the Gulf state's GDP, a sharp increase from just 3% in 2016. It's a critical driver for the local economies of Makkah and Medina. For businesses, Hajj and Ramadan are peak seasons. From small vendors to luxury hospitality chains, everyone benefits. Hotel room rates in Makkah can soar during these periods. While there's a range of accommodations to suit every budget, five-star hotels can charge as much as $3,000 per night during Hajj. Saudi Arabia is now aiming to welcome 30 million religious tourists annually by 2030. This presents major opportunities, especially for the travel, retail and hospitality sectors. Accor is the largest hotel operator in the city of Makkah. Paul Stevens is the chief operating officer for Accor across the Middle East, Africa and Turkey for premium, mid-scale and economy.
You don't have anywhere else in the world that has this demand, you know, and a single-use purpose, I guess you could say. There's two real peak times of religious tourism in Saudi, which is one is Ramadan. And realistically, there's the last 10 or 15 or probably 12 days of Ramadan that are real peak. And then there's Hajj. And Hajj is different and it's done in a very different way. It's very regulated by the government authorities. They hand out only so many visas. And that's primarily to control the crowds that have the desire to come in. So big desire there. Last year, I think there was roughly, in the Hajj period, about 3-ish million people coming to Mecca, Medina. This year, they've reduced the amount of visas. As far as operational size is concerned, as I mentioned, you know, it's anywhere between 70 and 80% of our business in Saudi.
So currently, if you look at Saudi Arabia, they attract somewhere close to about 20 million pilgrims every year for both Umrah and Hajj and to the two holy cities. And now they're talking about increasing that to about 30 million in the next five to seven years. What's the opportunity like for, you know, businesses which are operating in the space like yours?
I think we all live that dream together, but the reality is, I guess now, and another desire and a strategy of all of us operating there as well as the government is the Umrah season, which is a season that's outside those very, very peak sides, is now being looked at as a real opportunity for people to come and enjoy the spiritual side of Mecca and Medina outside those peak times, and that's becoming very, very popular now. That dream's coming to a reality across the Umrah period. And it really, it depends very much on the time of those religious periods too, be summer in summer, summer in winter, so that obviously makes a difference to when people travel. But the opportunities are, I'd say, growing. I wouldn't say huge, I'd say growing. And the way that's happening, it's not only a piece of paper that someone said we should have this many tourists. In concert with the government, they're going through with us as operators, cleaning up some of the hotels that maybe need to be either refurbished or maybe sometimes moved and a new product built, because they're really committed to making sure these experiences are positive and they're lifelong experiences. They're not just coming and going. So that's how we're going to get to that number.
One of the challenges that some people point out is that while the government is doing a lot to expand infrastructure, especially in the city of Makkah, because Makkah is more as a smaller city, densely populated, a little more cramped compared to Medina, it's really difficult to reach those targets which the government is talking about in terms of pilgrims coming through the year. Do you see that as a challenge that, especially in a city like Makkah, you could hit a ceiling in terms of the number of pilgrims you can get into the city just because of the infrastructure?
Yeah, look, I think it would have been 2 or 3 years ago, but there's been a plan. The infrastructure's improving hugely. Like they're putting a whole heap of time and effort in and planning in to make sure those, first of all, the arrival experience is a lot simpler and a lot less, with less checkpoints, et cetera, by the control of visas and the control of entry from other parts and points. But also the addition of new supply or hotel rooms, basically, and new facilities is highly measured now. So they know how many rooms they need to achieve these goals. And again, I mentioned before, we're refurbishing old products or moving them and building new ones. And we have a growth in, when we open a hotel there, it's not 100 rooms, it's 1,000 rooms. So it's a big addition, and it enables you then to do 1,000 rooms times 52 times 7 days a week, etc. So it's a big number. So I believe that probably the religious tourism number is not the biggest challenge as far as growth in Saudi Arabia, or particularly through Mecca Medina, as we've got this supply coming on, as we've got the infrastructure improving, so we can move the people in, we can move them out, we can accommodate them in better conditions and in really modern conditions.
You're listening to Business Daily on BBC World Service. I'm Samir Hashmi, and today we are in Saudi Arabia, exploring how the state is seeking to capitalize on religious tourism as millions of Muslims gather for Hajj. But one of the growing challenges for Saudi Arabia is climate change. Last year, over 1,300 pilgrims died due to extreme heat, with temperatures exceeding 50 degrees Celsius. According to officials, most of the deceased were unauthorized pilgrims who had joined the Hajj through irregular channels without access to official cooling facilities like air-conditioned tents or buses. While Saudi Arabia has stepped up safety measures in recent years, it continues to face criticism for not doing enough to prevent deaths due to overcrowding and extreme heat. The risks are real: long distances, intense heat, and physical strain. Many pilgrims are elderly or unwell. Health-related deaths during Hajj are not new. They have been recorded as far back as the 1400s, but scientists warn that climate change will make the pilgrimage even more physically demanding. In response, the Saudi government has ramped up investment in infrastructure and medical care. It has also cracked down on illegal pilgrim groups, this year using drone surveillance ahead of Hajj to help monitor and manage the crowds. Health Minister Mr. Fahad Al-Jinajil shared details about the steps that the government has taken this year to avoid any mishaps.
We've taken preventative measures as the summer and high temperature pose a real threat. We've planted 10,000 trees, expanded the shaded area for walking. We've expanded the cool and rubberized roads by 82% to help reduce the impact of extreme heat on pilgrims. We've built a new emergency hospital at the Hajj site. In addition, we've prepared three field hospitals with a capacity of more than 1,200 beds. We've provided pilgrims with smart sensors to monitor their health conditions, and we've connected them to a virtual health hospital.
During Hajj, the local markets in Makkah come alive, buzzing with pilgrims and commercial activity. The seasonal surge is vital for small businesses. Attracting more religious tourists is part of Saudi Arabia's broader tourism ambitions under Vision 2030, the government's strategic plan to diversify its economy away from oil dependency. The goal is to attract 70 million international tourists every year by 2030. In 2024, that figure stood at 30 million, which included both leisure and religious travellers. Tourism is expected to contribute 10% to Saudi Arabia's GDP and create 1.6 million jobs over the next 5 years. Religious tourism alone employed nearly 240,000 people in 2022. I spoke to Justin Alexander, director at Khalij Economics, a firm that tracks economic developments in the region. I began by asking him if the goal of 30 million religious tourists by 2030 is realistic.
Fundamentally, it's about, you know, its duty to host pilgrims, so it's kind of a religious social duty, but it is also an important economic driver. And, you know, with over, 1.5 billion Muslims globally, all of whom ideally would want to make a pilgrimage at least once in their lifetimes, and some who do it multiple times, that's a really strong source of demand. And it's a monopoly. There's only one place for them to go. There are ambitious numbers to grow that, and I think they will be achieved. And we can talk about some of the ways that the kingdom has been making preparations to facilitate that expansion. So, for example, they've been, you know, developing hotel rooms and transport facilities. They've recently completed a massive, more than a decade-long expansion of the Grand Mosque in Mecca. They've even set up a new airline.
But do you think that there could be a possibility, or if there's a, they could utilize really a certain section of this religious tourism that could feed into those leisure targets as well? Or do you think, given that there are a lot of Muslims who travel who can afford to really spend the money and go to these different places in the country, do you think there's an opportunity there if utilized?
Yes, I mean, I think certainly, I mean, Saudi Arabia, you know, maybe particularly appeals to the kind of Islamic tourism market, although plenty of non-Muslims can visit and have a great time there. But yeah, I think there's potentially kind of crossover. So, you know, a family from, you know, Pakistan, or a Muslim family from the UK or anywhere could come on a leisure holiday to Saudi Arabia and also do Umrah at the same time.
Saudis are quite, Saudi Arabia is spending a lot of money on tourism because they have identified that as a key pillar of their Vision 2030 program, which is the oil diversification strategy of Saudi Arabia. How crucial do you think is it for Saudi Arabia to ensure that tourism as a sector takes off that could help their target or help them on this path of diversifying their economy away from oil?
Yes, I think it's really important. I think because I think it's a reliable sector. I think it's, you know, it's one where Saudi Arabia has real resources and potential. And it's also a sector that employs a lot of people. So, you know, there's interest in lots of sectors to diversify in AI and high tech manufacturing. And that's all great. But these sectors are largely driven by the government or state owned companies. They don't employ that many people. As you mentioned earlier, the tourism sector really supports small businesses, creates a lot of employment. So, you know, both because of the potential and also because of the kind of economic development that tourism leads to, it's a really important sector. And I'm glad that it's a priority.
Saudi Arabia is looking at attracting 70 million international travelers by 2030. Do you think that's a realistic target?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does have real potential, and it's, you know, it, so far there's a very clear distinction between kind of pre-COVID and after COVID. You know, that COVID obviously cut down international travel for a few years everywhere, and it coincided with a period in which, you know, Saudi Arabia was developing, was liberalizing in certain ways to which facilitate leisure and tourism. The government's focus, the social reforms, the improved infrastructure, you know, all of these things will really help it to meet some of those tourism targets. I have some sort of concerns about the strategy, and I think one of the big concerns is there, particularly in the secular tourism, there's been a lot of focus on the high end of the tourism market. So building, you know, 5-star resorts and hotels. And I think while there is demand for that, most Saudis, you know, most pilgrims who come as well are not in that category. And I think it's important that the tourism facilities also kind of accommodate and cater for, you know, the middle market.
As the sun sets over Makkah, hundreds of thousands of pilgrims gather at the Grand Holy Mosque for the evening prayer. This was the day before they embarked on a spiritual journey, one that for many becomes the defining experience of their lives. For over 1400 years, Saudi Arabia has hosted pilgrims from across the world who travel to this sacred patch of desert to fulfill a religious obligation. Beyond the eternal moral duty, the economic potential of hosting Hajj is vast. As more Muslims gain the financial means to undertake this journey, the scale of the opportunity for Saudi Arabia and the global travel industry continues to grow. Thanks for listening to this episode of Business Daily, produced and presented by me, Sameer Hashmi. To hear more episodes, just search for Business Daily wherever you get your BBC podcasts.